this morning we're going to jump back into our series that we've titled Unwrapping the Gifts of the Spirit. And now this is our expository verse-by-verse journey through 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14. We're digging into what God's Word has to say to the church through all time, that includes today, what He has to say about His special spiritual gifts and how He uses them, why He uses them in the church, and how to use them. So I want to backtrack and make sure we're all caught up with things. Here's what we've learned so far. When we launched into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we learned that you are gifted. God has given spiritual gifts to everyone in the church, and He rolls them out to us, to each one of us, as He wills. And we have to remember, there aren't like super spiritual, special Christians that get spiritual gifts, but they are for every believer. And so again, you are gifted. You are gifted, and I want to do a little interaction here. I want you to look around to those to your left and right, even in front of you and behind you. I want you to let them know and tell them you are gifted. Tell them that. You are gifted. And you are. The second thing we learned, the second half of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is that we learn that you are needed. Not only are you gifted, but you are needed. Every one of us. In God's family, every one of us, we have a critical role to play. We have special gifts. We were created in His image for special reasons and purposes. Every single one of us, every single one of you, all of us, you are needed. So I want you to also look around to the same people or maybe a new one, and I want you to let them know you are needed. You are needed. We're all needed. If the church is going to thrive, if we're going to impact our culture, if we're going to bring the kingdom of God the way that He wants us to right here, right now, we need all of us, man. We need every single person in this church family. And then we learned in chapter 13, the love chapter, that we are to wrap the gifts that God's given us in love. When we use the gifts of the Spirit, when we interact with one another, when we minister to one another, we're to wrap it all in the love of Jesus Christ. If we don't, we can actually hurt each other. And we don't want to do that. I shared some stories of my past, right? And people meant well, they were operating with zeal, but got a little carried away maybe. So what do we do when we interact with one another, pray for one another, minister to one another, use the gifts in our gatherings? We wrap it all in love. We wrap it in love. Gentleness, kindness, patience. In love. Today we're going to venture into chapter 14. You ready to roll? Ready to keep this thing moving forward? Chapter 14. Go ahead and turn there to chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. And here's what God's Word is going to clearly tell us this morning. God is very clearly telling the church right off the bat, jumping into chapter 14, that we are to go after the gifts. And that's the title of today's message. Go after the gifts. Go after them. Listen to the Apostle Paul's plea to the church. Verse 1, follow the way of love. He's connecting it to the last chapter. Follow the way of love. Pursue love. Wrap your lives, your ministry, your relationships, and your use of the gifts, all that God's put in you. Wrap it in love. Pursue love. And then he says this, and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift, he says, of prophecy. So Paul, at the beginning of this chapter, is saying, go after the gifts. Eagerly desire the gifts. Now, the Greek word that Paul uses there in this exhortation is zelao. Eagerly desire the gifts. Zelao. What does that mean? It means to burn with zeal. Zelao means to earnestly go after something, to pursue, to zealously seek after. Zelao, the spiritual gifts. Zelao, all that God has. Burn with zeal for the stuff that God wants to pour into you and into the body of Christ. Here's the other thing about that word, zelao. It's in the imperative, meaning that it's a command. It's not just a suggestion. And so Paul is commanding the church. Zelao, he's commanding the church to go after the spiritual gifts. It's interesting. Let's break this down. We're going to look at three different questions this morning to really kind of wrap our, not only our minds, but our hearts and our lives around what God is saying here in this first verse of chapter 14. That's as far as we're going, by the way, this morning. Next week, we're going to hit the rest of chapter 14. That's going to be awesome, man. That's going to be impressive if we can do that, but I believe we will. We're going to get through the rest of it. Let's look at these three questions about zelao, about earnestly desiring, going after the gifts. The first question is this: what does it look like to go after something? What does it look like to zelao? What does it look like? When I think of going after something, when I think of zeal, I think of the first century zealots. There's a picture kind of depicting those first century zealots. This was a group of Christians that were so convinced that they were charged to bring God's kingdom and usher it into this world that they actually started believing and thinking that the way to do that was to take up arms and actually fight against the powerful Roman Empire. So convinced that this is what they were supposed to do, they actually put their lives on the line, laid their lives down. Now, we know that their approach was incorrect, was off base, was not what Jesus was encouraging the church. However, they did move forward in what they were convinced of with zeal. That's why they're called zealots. They were burning with passion to go bring God's kingdom in this way. And this is interesting. Now, God embraces people filled with zeal. In fact, he embraces zealots. He doesn't embrace when they're going off the wrong direction. He doesn't bless that. But he loves zealous people. In fact, he brought a guy named Simon the Zealot into his close group of 12 disciples. He wanted to surround himself with those guys that are filled with zeal, that are ready to go after what God is calling them to go after. Not bringing the kingdom by force like these first century zealots, but bringing the kingdom of God God's way. I've told this story several years ago, and it's about a woman who was at a concert, and there was a violinist there. It was his concert. His name was Fritz Kreisler. And I mean, he was world-class, amazing violinist. And so Fritz was up there and he just finished his concert. This woman was so excited. She ran and rushed toward that stage and met up with Kreisler. And she says to him, "I would give my life to play the violin as beautifully as you do." And Kreisler replied to her, and he said, I did. You see, Kreisler was convinced that he was put on this earth to play the violin, to make music. Like our sister Erin does up here on the violin. Doesn't she play beautifully? Isn't it awesome? What a blessing. And he was so convinced that that was his calling that he went after it. He laid his life down to fulfill his calling. He didn't hold back. He put other things aside, pursuits that a lot of other people went after. Things that would have distracted him, that would have pulled him away from his calling, he said no to. He gave his life zealously, all in, to take hold of the gift that he was blessed with, and that was music, the violin. He mastered it. We often want something in life. You know, we'll look at something like this lady did. Oh, man, I want to play like that. We see other things in life that we want. You know, we want something. But real desire for something is made evident when we take action and go after it. See, we know that Kreisler desired to master that violin because he took action And he went after it. He put in the 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 hours it takes to master something and to fulfill the calling and to really master the gift that he was given. Real desire. We can want something, but I say you don't desire it, really desire it down deep. You don't zelao it unless you're actually taking action and pursuing it. That's the indicator that you really, really want something. You want to hear God. You want to hear his voice, like maybe the person next to you or that person in that prayer meeting. You're always surprised, man, how do they hear God that way? Man, I want that. You want to see miracles. You hear stories and testimonies up here of somebody being out at Walmart and praying over somebody and physical healing happening. And you're like, man, I want to be part of that kind of thing. I want to see that kind of stuff happen. Man, that's my desire. I want that. You want to prophesy. You want words of knowledge. You want a prayer language. You want to speak in tongues. You want to be used by God for that supernatural stuff that you get a glimpse of, that you see here and there as you're hanging out with some of your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And you want intimacy with God. Man, you want to know him. I mean, like at a deep level. God's word to you is go after it. Do you really want it? Then go after it. Because real desire is demonstrated by action. I'm going to tell you another story. It's a little bit lighter story about desire, about zeal, about wanting something. I call it the French fry story. Some of you have heard this years ago. My kids were a lot younger when this all happened, but we were in our old Suburban. I'm still driving that bad boy. It's getting me around. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Come on now. And so we were in that old Suburban, and we pulled through the McDonald's drive-thru. Don't look at me that way. It's okay. Every once in a while, Big Mac, every once in a while. Just, it's okay. And we pulled through, and they did something that I just haven't had an experience before. They said, could you go park, and then we'll bring your food to you. I'm like, all right. I mean, some other places do that, but McDonald's doing that? Okay, we'll do that. So we're sitting in the parking lot. I mean, it was 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, almost 10 minutes. And Jake can't stand it anymore. He's about 11 years old, maybe 12 or something like that. He can't stand it anymore. He's leading worship now. He's growing up just a little bit. But when he's hungry, I mean, he gets a desire in him that he has to fulfill. And so he's like, Dad, I'm hungry. Dad, I'm hungry. And I said, hey, if you're really that hungry, then why don't you do something about it, son? And I said, why don't you get out of the car, go in to McDonald's, go up to the front and say, look, we've been waiting for a long time. I'm really hungry. Can we have some free French fries while we wait? Now, to my surprise, he does it. He gets out of the car. He goes into McDonald's, and he comes back just about 2 minutes later with an extra large French fry and a whole bunch of ketchup, and he shared it with the whole group of us. Wasn't that nice? And so Jake learned something that day. He learned that if you really want something, don't just talk about it. Don't just complain about why you don't have it. If you really want something, you got to take action and go for it. And when you do, you just might get it. You just might get it. And the Lord has some amazing things for us. And it's a lot better and a lot healthier and a lot more eternal. I don't know. McDonald's French fries, they last forever. Apparently, they never go stale or bad. It's kind of scary. But the things that God has for us, the gifts that he has for us, the things that he has for our lives, man, he wants us to go after them. And like the French fries, church, we're going to get them at just the right time, in just the right way, for God to be glorified and for the church to be built up and for his kingdom to come, for the name of Jesus to become famous, for the lost to be found, for the dark to be pushed back and the light to come. I mean, for our culture to be changed, for God's glory. Go after it. Go after it. So God in this passage of Scripture is commanding the church. Remember that? It's not a suggestion. He's commanding the church to go after the gifts, to seek them out. But how is God going to respond if we take him up on this? How's it all going to play out? I want you to turn to Hebrews 11, verse 6. God gives us some insight into his character and how he deals with his church as we take him up on his word. Go after the good things that he has. He says this in Hebrews 11, 6. He says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly, there we are again, earnestly, diligently, who earnestly seek him. So it takes faith, it takes trusting him, and we still have to go after it. So if God in his word, even right here in Hebrews 11, 6, if God is telling us, is God true? Are his promises true? Is God a liar? No, he's not. He's true. So he's telling us, his church, to go after the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Is he going to deny us those things that he's telling us to go after? Does he play games with us? Some people still believe that God is some kind of sicko and he plays games like hide and seek. Like he dangles a carrot out there and he never gives it to us. And he says, keep jumping, keep running after something, and I'm going to just keep frustrating you. God doesn't do that. If you believe that, it's not truth. Get into the Word of God. Dive into his character. Let him minister to your heart even right now, this week and next week. God doesn't play games. If he says he has something good for us, he has something good for us. And when we diligently, earnestly seek it out and go after it, we will find it. We will grab hold of it in God's perfect timing and in his perfect way. He will reward us, as the writer of Hebrews said. It might look differently than we've imagined. It usually does. Usually does. Some people walk away before they get it because it's not looking the way they thought it should look. It's going to look different than you thought. Hang in there. God's timing might be different than ours. We're to go after the gifts. Let's jump into the second question. Question number two, what does it look like to go after the gifts? We talked about just in general. Question number one, what does it look like to go after something in general? But what does it look like more specifically to go after the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Let's look at the early church of Acts for that. We can actually look at how they lived life, how they handled God's word, his promises, what they did. When Jesus, you see, was ascending to be with the Father in heaven, he assured the church everything's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. You don't have to worry, church. It's going to be all right. Why? Because he was going to do something pretty amazing. He was going to send the Holy Spirit. He was going to send God to actually come and baptize the church, to make his dwelling within the church, within the individuals as we are his temple, but also in the church itself. He was sending the Holy Spirit. Church, it's going to be okay because I'm promising you I'm sending the Holy Spirit. And because of this, the church would do the things that Jesus was doing. And Jesus said that we would even do the greater things because it's going to a whole nother level. God himself, the living God of the universe, is going to come and dwell within us and move within us and move through us now. Wow. It says this in Acts 1. Let's look at verses 4 and 5. It says, on one occasion, while Jesus was eating with his followers, the disciples, he gave them this command. Here's another command, not a suggestion. So in red letters here, Jesus said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So he's saying, wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Don't worry. Go take some action, go hang out together, go to that upper room place, hang out, and you wait, actively wait for this gift that I have. And the gift is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, the church responded to this not by scattering, not by running away, not by hiding in their own homes, not by getting busy with life and business and trying to make more money. That's not how they responded to what Jesus was saying. Rather, they embraced the promise that God had for them. They zealously went after the promise of the Holy Spirit. They waited, they came together, and the Holy Spirit came and they received the promise by faith. Check it out. Here's what it looked like. Acts 2 now, beginning in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. And I bolded that because that's very important. Again, I say this often, but most of the big miracles of God and God showing up in special, powerful ways, as you read throughout the New Testament, it typically almost always happens when the saints are together. We have our personal relationship. It's so important. We're saved by grace in Christ alone. It's something that he does in us personally, but he moves in power through the church. That's why he gives us gifts. That's why he says we're all needed. We're all gifted. We're all needed. And he encourages us to come together. So they were all together in one place, obeying what Jesus said. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And then check this out, verse 4, it says, all of them, everyone who was there, earnestly waiting, seeking, desiring, listening to Jesus, waiting for the gift that he had promised, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And then we know this, after receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit and some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit already being made evident in the church, they went out into the streets led by the Spirit, and 3,000 people came to Christ on that day, and they were water baptized even, right then and there. The power of God moving through the church as they waited and then received the promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God at work. How does this all work out? How does this all work out? Here, we're getting a really good picture of it right here. Notice it wasn't a passive experience. It wasn't. Rather, it was actively engaging with God. I want to share with you my own story, a couple of my stories, of my own experience of how I sought out some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I just want to share with you and be vulnerable with my church family on this. So let me start with the gift of tongues. Back when I was still in business, I wasn't in ministry full time or anything yet. Just a member of the church, on worship teams, meeting with men every week, getting encouraged in the things of God. And then I found myself reading God's word and like going crazy with it. And I would set aside hours of my day just to get in God's word. And as I did, I kept running across this thing called praying in the Spirit and singing in the Spirit and how it builds us up in the inner man. And I'm like, I need that. I want that. And God keeps saying in his word that it's there. I want that. I don't want to miss out on that. If he says it's there for me, then it's there for me. And so I said, I want it, God. And so I prayed. And I said, Holy Spirit, would you please give me the gift of tongues? Would you please give me this kind of ability to pray in the Spirit in this way that I'm reading about? Please give it to me, Holy Spirit. And then I sat there and I'm just imagining, I don't remember exactly my posture, but I imagine I sat there probably with my mouth a little bit open, going, my eyes closed, waiting for it to happen. Probably peeking here and there. Okay, God, you there? Nothing was happening. Nothing. I mean, God didn't take control of my mouth. He didn't grab my tongue and start making it move and things coming out of my mouth. I'm like, what's going on? So I kept praying. I said, God, I really want this. What am I supposed to do here? What am I supposed to do? He told me just to open my mouth and start letting stuff come out. That's what he instructed me. And so I did, and I got four syllables come out of my mouth. These weren't the four syllables, but this is what it started sounding like. It started sounding like goo goo gaga. I'm serious. Those weren't the four syllables, but it was the same four syllables. I just kept repeating these same four syllables, and after a while, I'm like, I sound like a little baby here. You know, I sound like a little baby, and the Holy Spirit said, well, you are. You're just learning to speak. You're just learning. What do you expect? And this is my experience. Other people, man, I've seen them just ask for the gift of tongues, and they sound like they're fluent in some other language, and I'm like blown away. And I praise God that they've got that in that way. My experience was a little more laborious. I had to open my mouth, let things come out, and it sounded foolish. It was a little frustrating after a while. It even felt forced from time to time. And the same four syllables kept coming out. And I said, oh, God, please help me. I want more. And after a while, more started coming. As I persisted, I wasn't playing a game. I wasn't trying to manipulate God. I was just eagerly desiring. Zelao. I was just opening my mouth and allowing the Holy Spirit to direct what was coming out. And it began to expand and expand. And to this day, it is one of the most precious things I have in my walk with the Lord. In fact, it is what allows me to pray without ceasing. It allows me during the day to be driving in my car and be praying as I'm worshiping. But then I don't know what else to pray and say. And I just start praying. In the spirit, and I'll even find myself sometimes walking into a restaurant or into a shop or something, and I'm still praying in the spirit, and the only reason that I'm made aware of it is people start looking at me strange, and all of a sudden I realize, wait, it's still coming out of my mouth. It's just not in my mind. It's actually coming out of my mouth. I don't want to freak people out, because we're going to talk about that next week. He doesn't want us to be freaking people out about this stuff. You know what I'm saying? So I just kind of quiet it down and say, okay. But that was my experience of going after the gift of tongues. Now let me tell you about the next one, going after the gift of prophecy. It wasn't long after that, and I was in Turkey with Dr. Andy Jackson. And when we were doing ministry and just walking around, people were getting prophetic words. And finally I said, that's enough. I want that. You all are getting these prophetic words for one another. I want that. And we're sitting in a treehouse eating lunch. You're thinking, that sounds funny. It was crazy, okay? We're in Turkey, all right? Seljuk Turkey. And we're in this treehouse-like structure eating this Turkish food. And we get done eating, and I say, y'all, I want that gift of prophecy. And one of the guys there grabbed my hand. He said, you just quiet your heart and your mind right before the Lord, and you just ask him for a word for Anita. Some of you all know Anita Hensley. I said, all right, Mark, I'll do it. Took a deep breath again. I closed my eyes, quieted myself the best I could. And it felt like an hour later, but it was probably about 30 seconds later. I opened my eyes because it just felt awkward, right? And I said, I got nothing, man. This is crazy. I got nothing. And he grabbed my hand again. He said, Eric, just let the Lord speak something to you. Let him give something to you for Anita. But I quieted my heart and I took more time and I listened, and he gave me just a simple word for Anita about how she is moving into a season of being a spiritual mother in some people's lives in our church. And she said, Eric, you are hearing from the Lord, because that's exactly what God has been telling me for the last 3 months. And when I go back, when we get back to Phoenix, those are exactly the kind of meetings and things that I'm going to be engaging in right now. Boy, did it boost my confidence. But to me, it just seemed like this crazy thought, just like, how could this be from God? Why is this in my mind? But I spoke it out. It gave me confidence, and I kept growing in it even on that trip. And even today, it's one of those gifts I have to actually truly quiet myself and listen and take time to hear God's voice, to get that word for somebody, for myself, whatever it is. But notice, we often think that the way it's supposed to happen is God just takes control of our mouths like we're some kind of puppet. Or he just takes total control of our minds and just downloads these impressions and thoughts and pushes them out of us. God doesn't operate that way. He's a gentleman. He didn't force you to come to Christ, to receive him as your Lord and Savior. He was patient, kind. The Holy Spirit is God. It's that same character. Patience, kindness, gentleness. And I want to say it again, patience. He's patient with us. Remember we talked weeks ago about different kind of people who are wanting the gifts, and some are on the edge and those young kids learning how to swim, they don't want to jump in. They're afraid. They're anxious to jump in, to go after that. And God understands that, and that's okay. That's okay. His perfect timing, you just keep trusting and keeping your eyes focused on him, and you'll jump off. And he'll catch you because he's gentle with you and he's patient with you. And then there's the others of you that just say, I don't know, I'm just diving in. You don't know a thing about swimming. You don't know a thing about the gifts, but you're going to dive in. That's great too. And the Lord can use that and he can protect you in your zeal so that you don't hurt yourself or you don't hurt others. It's important to be in a family of people that can help walk us through all of those things. Listen to the words of Jesus. Luke 11. He says, so I say to you, ask. And this is in the active form, meaning keep asking. So I say to you, keep asking, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Keep knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And notice, at the end of that sentence, it's not a question mark. It's an exclamation point. He will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for him. So we keep asking, we keep seeking, we keep knocking. We trust him. We trust his timing and his method. My method, I share with you the method he used in me. We all have different experiences. We try to compartmentalize this or box him in and say, here's the formula for receiving the baptism of the Spirit. Here's a formula for receiving the gifts that he has. And when we do that, we dumb down what God wants to do and we box in his character and the marvelous ways that he works. Let's not do that, church. Let's let God move in each of us in that special way that he wants to do it. As he's patient with us, let's be patient with one another. Just encourage one another and celebrate with one another. Question number three, the final one. How can we go after the gifts today? Well, we can stop talking about it and start doing it, right? Stop thinking that it's just going to somehow happen because he's going to take control of us, like remotely take control of us and do it, and start earnestly desiring and participating and stepping out in faith and doing it in love. God is looking for his church to come into agreement with his promises and his word, to willingly participate with him. And again, he's gentle in this whole process. And it's not weird and it's not out of order. And we're going to talk about the whole order side next week. So important. God's looking for people who will walk away from their own plans too. Walk away from their own pride, from their own inhibitions, and to step in trusting him into the things that he's called us into. To spend our time going after the things he's called us to go after. That's when we're going to see the big stuff, church. I believe the Lord gave me a word for us this week. That word is don't just dream, pursue. We often just keep dreaming about the things of God. I believe the Holy Spirit is saying, dreaming is good, but don't just dream. Pursue the things I have for you. And then he went further, and the word keeps going. He says, don't just read about it. Don't just talk about it. Don't just debate it, but do it. In America, we're so good at reading about it, talking about it, and boy, do we love to debate it. And God would say, let's move beyond that, and let's step into it, and let's actually live it. Let's do it. More and more and more. And it's the same precept that we found in Philippians 3, verse 12, where he says we have to take hold of that which Christ Jesus has already taken hold of for us. He's taken hold of it. He's given us a gift, but we have to go grab it. We have to go after it. Not just talk about it, but go after it. So let's do it, church. Let's obediently and in faith respond to this imperative command and earnestly, zelao, earnestly desire all that the Holy Spirit has for us. Let's go after what God's word says. I want to ask you to stand up because we're about ready to move into a time of worship. There's two things I want to encourage you, two practical actions that you can take even right now. If you're ready to stop just talking about it, debating it, but actually going after it. On Wednesday nights, we have a prayer meeting. And in those prayer meetings, it's like an incubator for the gifts of the Spirit. There's always time, there's always space, and there's always people that are moving in the gifts. Words of knowledge, tongues being prayed and spoken. If you want to be around that a little more, you want to kind of get a feel for that. You want to see how God operates in those things. The whole service isn't that way. There's a whole lot of prayer and worship that happens. But the gifts of the Spirit are used in those gatherings. If you want to come and just start dipping your toe in the water, that's a great place to do it. Wednesday night prayer, 7 o'clock. Another great place to do it is right here and right now. It's a great time. There's no better time than the present than to say yes to God and to earnestly desire, to seek after, to go after the things that God has. And so we're going to move into worship right now.